Off the Ball, GAA.
This has just drastically improved my life, all the little things, and I'm even more excited for my kids now to put on their Mayo jersey and be so proud to represent the values of what the county is.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Hello, yes, it is LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle with you again this week. And there's a whole lot going on with European football. Some signings in a quiet enough transfer window in the summer. And a new man in the dugout at the showgrounds. Just a reminder that there will be a live League of Ireland Pod at All Together Now. That is the absolutely brilliant music festival on down in Waterford this bank holiday weekend. We will be in the Go Loud Lounge at 6 o'clock on the Sunday of the festival. Vinnie Perth and I will be joined by Brian Kerr on the night. Many stories to hear from the great man, including getting his arse burnt by one of Billy Bagster's cigarettes. So to hear more about that, join us at 6 o'clock this Sunday in the Go Loud Lounge. The LOI Pod is going live now. Just before I bring the lads in, let's have a listen to what happened on Off the Ball on News Talk last Friday night.
They only have 12 games to go this season. St. Patrick's Athletic sitting in third place in the table above tonight's visitors. It's vital for the home team, St. Pat's, to get a positive result if they want to keep the pressure up on the reigning champions, Shamrock Rovers. Dundalk, meanwhile, have dropped off the pace set by the top three, having lost their three matches in the league. Most recently, the Louth Derby. Plays out to Horgan on the left-hand side. Horgan goes around the outside of Joe Redmond, puts in a cross towards the back post. Well, he gets
a
smack in the face, he's down, and the referee says penalty. He agrees with Jurici. I think it was Anto Breslin that collided 100%. With him, but he did seem to lead with the elbow. Clark took a really hard knock to the face there, and he went down straight away. Joe Nang, he saved 5 out of 12 penalties in the League of Ireland, but he's not saving that one because Darrell Horgan has whacked it into the roof of the nets. That is a superb penalty from one of Dundalk's most superb ever players, Darrell Horgan, the skipper, leading by example from the spot. He's put his team in front here in the 35th minute. It's St. Patrick's Athletic 0, Dundalk 1.
On a kick to come here. Keane Levy's gone down for the short one. Keane fires it in! Oh,
from Sean Hall! And there's the leveller. A brilliant, classic Sean Hall finish with the head. He rose up unmatched. It was a super delivery from Aidan Keane. It had all the pace he needed in it for that header to be directed past the goalkeeper with pace. Mano didn't have a chance. Went right through his hands. 55 minutes here at Intercore. It's St. Patrick's Athletic 1, Dundalk 1.
A wriggle away from the St. Pat's defence. And eventually, there is the full-time whistle blown by Kevin O'Sullivan. And the spoils are shared by the two teams. Stephen Kenny up against his old club, Dundalk, tonight, with so much riding on this game. How frustrated do you think Stephen Kennedy feeling tonight, Richie?
That's a missed opportunity, Stephen, if looking at it from Stephen Kenny's point of view. Obviously, the Bohemians, the Shamrock Rovers, not playing tonight, it's a big, big chance to get 3 points on the board and put serious pressure on the ones that's ahead of them.
It was your last game in hand. How frustrated are you that you haven't closed the gap a bit more on Shamrock Rovers?
I'm pleased that we came back and didn't lose the game. I think that was important. I think it's a brilliant goal from Sean Hoare. An absolutely outstanding header, good corner from Aidan Keane. You know, obviously everyone is disappointed. The fact that we were nowhere, people at the start of the season didn't really fancy us to do much, and we're second and we're disappointed. You know, that's something I would feel, that we're second in the league. Missing our attacking players has hurt us in this period.
We've been very impressed with Ronan Tehan over the last few weeks. You know, you've brought him, Harry Groom, up from the First Division. Like, does that maybe show that there is talented players in the First Division that can make the step up?
Absolutely. I played in the First Division before I came up to the Premier Division. A lot of players here that we did. I played with Keith Ward, Ronan Finn and the UCD side back in the day, and we started there. So the First Division is littered with them. Don't get me wrong, it's a tough division. We were in it ourselves last year, and we're not looking down our nose at it or anything like that. But there is talent out there.
Yes, that is Kieran Kilduff speaking to myself down at Richmond Park after Dundalk's 1-1 draw with St. Patrick's Athletic on Friday night. And that basically means that St. Pat's could only close the gap on Shamrock Rovers to just 7 points, which is the same amount of distance between Rovers and Bohemians. Pat's just above Bowes on goal difference. So two games in hand for Pat's. They only managed to get 2 points from them. Dundalk are further, 7 points adrift of the top three. And then it's Shelburne just 2 points behind Dundalk, although they do have a game in hand. Derry City on 29.5 off Shelburne. Galway just a point behind Derry City. And then it's Drawn on 26, two off Galway. And then Waterford on 22 points. Sligo Rovers at the bottom on 21. Vinnie Perth is with us again. Great to see you, Vinnie. And even better to see yourself, Gareth, after your little sojourn last week. So we have a lot of stuff to discuss here. I know there's a few things grinding your gears, lads. But our feature match on Friday night, and actually I do want to come back to that Kilduff point on the First Division players a bit later on in the podcast. But the feature match this week on Friday night, it's Drogheda United versus Shamrock Rovers at Sullivan and Lamb Park. I'll be joined by a man on co-commentary duty, a man, Vinnie, who has even more silverware than yourself. It is a man who's won 7 league titles as a player with Bows and Shells. The great Owen Heary, Captain Fantastic. So he will be on co-commentary duty with me on Friday night. The best way to jump off with this conversation around this game is the results last night at Tallaght Stadium. I know you both are watching it. Gareth, your own immediate reaction to that result and Rovers going out of the Champions League to Ararat, Armenia.
Yeah, disappointment. I think everybody in every League of Ireland fan would have felt the same. It was just, it seemed to be going perfectly up until half time. And even after the half time, I think Rovers just, they were so comfortable in the game that you thought it's only a matter of time before they get the third and then possibly the fourth to kill the game off. Considering Aramat, they hadn't had a game, it was their second game back, and they're basically still in pre-season. Very disappointing for Rovers, but I think it's just testament for how far Rovers have come, how far the league have come, that we're expecting them to win these games. But I'm sure that the players and Stephen Bradley himself will be massively disappointed with the result. And going into this match now at the weekend, away to Drogheda, hurting a bit.
Yeah, like, it's hard to know, isn't it, what Bradley is thinking, Vinnie, after a game and a result like that. He said in his post-match interview he thought his team were brilliant last night. It's even hard to gauge by his reaction. I think he definitely looked frustrated. Like, I watched the first leg last week and I was thinking Rovers are going to beat these back at Tallaght Stadium 3 or 4 nil, because I thought they looked like a poor quality side, Ararat. And Rovers did have them on the ropes at half time. I spoke to a Rovers fan actually today, Vinnie, who shall remain unnamed. And they're kind of scratching their head over the decision of Stephen Bradley to wait until the 77th minute to make his first substitution. You kind of felt that maybe they should have brought a bit of pace, somebody off the bench like Michael Noonan or something like that, a little bit earlier in the game to really take advantage of their dominance in the game.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things, Steve-O. I think there's no doubt it's a really disappointing result for Shamrock Rovers. I think it was a winnable tie. But Europe is so, so difficult. I think Bradley's comments alluded to that after the game. Remember, no matter who you're playing, the champions of their own country. So they're used to winning. They know how to get the job done in their league domestically. But that was a winnable tie for ours. They're completely in control. And just bad defending, which they've been guilty of a couple of times in Europe already this year and in the league as well. And lack of concentration caught them. On the substitutions, I would have had that same mindset. But when you hear Bradley's comments, if you think about Afolabi for a second, or Danny Mandro, he was worried if it went to extra time that the two of them hadn't got it in their legs to play, so say 15 minutes plus extra time, 45 minutes. So that's why I'm always reluctant to be critical of some managers in terms of the substitutions, because we don't know the ins and outs of the players on the bench and why they're on the bench. So I'll give him a pass on that one. I think we have to give him a pass on that one. But as a club, Shamrock Rovers,
you're gone.
As a result, Shamrock Rovers should be bitterly disappointed.
Vinny's sound just cutting out there again, but you're basically saying bitterly disappointed. I'm not too sure.
Disappointed that they're not capable of pushing for...
Okay, well, listen.
Let me check it here. Yeah.
Yeah. the one thing I'd say that, look, you had Michael Noonan on the bench. Like, I don't think there's any issues with Michael Noonan. Naj Razi came on as well in the game. Like, it's just, I'm not trying to sit here kind of criticising Stephen Bradley. He's done everything in the game. He's won titles. He's won cups. I think I'm just, and I said, like, I have seen reaction from a lot of Shamrock Rovers supporters being really annoyed with this result, because this was their best opportunity ever to get into the playoff of a Champions League, because they would have been playing Celje, a team that they're familiar with and may have felt that they could have got a win against to get into that playoff. I think there's a lot of really frustrated Shamrock Rovers. That one supporter I spoke to today is really annoyed, because it's also a lot of money that they've lost out on here as well. And especially kind of when you're looking ahead to the next couple of seasons and signing players, that kind of thing, it's a really bad result for them, Gareth.
Yeah, Steve, oh, sorry. And to finish that point, sorry, Gareth, I've reconnected there. Hopefully it's fine. They should be disappointed, and Rovers as a club should be disappointed. I still think they win the league comfortably here domestically, but they are a team in transition, and there's learning from that from last night. But that's not good enough for supporters. Shamrock Rovers is a club now, conference group stages is bare minimum in Europe. Well, they should be chasing.
They
Europa
said
League.
Themselves, they were on the record. Players and Bradley himself have said that they want to get to the Europa League this season. That's their target.
And they may still get there, but they've made the job a mountain to climb. They've given away their coefficient going into that game last night in terms of being the stronger side. Armenian football is struggling a little bit. It was a really, really poor result. I'm not making excuses for Bradley or for Shamrock Rovers. My point is, when you're playing the Champions League, you're playing against, and particularly when you're in the Champions route, that they will be it. They're playing against teams that know how to win and get results domestically. But they've lost a very winnable tie yesterday. And supporters are okay to be, I should be disappointed by the result. And Bradley should accept some of the criticism for that, and the players had a mistake by their centre-half again. But it's tough, tough football, Champions League football, even at this early stage of the competition. That's just a health warning with it.
Gareth, yeah.
Yeah. No, and I think he's right. That the real heartache is that it wasn't within touching distance. I think that's a bit of a stretch. But the Champions League group stages almost was in their line of sight. I mean, yes, they would have been going into European campaign, going Conference League, Europa group stages. I don't think, and there would have been small hope, but I don't think anybody thought, you know what, the Champions League group stages is within arm's length as well. And it was last night, considering the next tie as well. So that's the biggest heartache, and that's the frustration from Shamrock Rovers. And let's be honest, Stephen Bradley has more than enough credit in the bank over the last 5 or 6 years. In Europe, they've won a lot of ties that they shouldn't have won, and they've won a lot of ties that they should have won, and that was one that probably their biggest disappointment so far. I think that's the one that's hard to get. The Champions League group stages was there within sight.
Is it going to play into this Friday night's fixture? If any, will Drogheda kind of smell blood a bit, thinking, well, we've had a longer rest than them? Like, Drogheda haven't played, they played on Saturday night, wasn't it? So they'll have had a longer run into this game. And would Kevin Doherty be thinking, even maybe looking at some of the, as Stephen Bradley himself called, a sloppy defending over those two legs, and thinking, you know, there's something we can get out of this game?
There's two sides to that. One is Rovers are very experienced around Europe, positive and negative results, and they're used to dealing with that. The squad is big enough as well to deal with it. But, I mean, when you're coming out of Europe, and Champions League football, Drogheda is a tough place to go. It's one of the harder places. Yes, the results aren't brilliant at the moment, Drogheda, but going up to United Park or Sullivan Land Park or whatever park it's called, it's going to be really difficult for them. So Drogheda have to smell blood. I think Drogheda need to get another couple of wins under the belt over the next couple of weeks for their own peace of mind. As much as we all think they'd be fine, they're still in danger. So it's going to be a really difficult night for Shamrock Rovers up there. And maybe that's part of Bradley's sort of press stuff, because every player listens to stuff in the press, and you are, as much as you're speaking to the press and to Ben last night, you're actually talking to your players as well a lot of the time. So maybe sending a message to the rest of his group. We're still in a good place. The glass half full. We're still in Europe, and we've got the domestic title to go and win back. And if that had been what would have been a number of years ago, goodnight and thanks, maybe would have been harsher on the players, but maybe he feels it's important he sends the right message out to the group.
Yeah, and it does seem to me that the back three has been an issue, and it was again, an issue again last night for that goal. I know he stuck Sabu Ali in as the right centre back. Pico Lopez is back. You know, he looks fine. So I don't know what Bradley does here now to try and fix that problem. Any ideas? Go on, Gareth.
Well, Gareth, hit me with it, because the back three have been brilliant, haven't they, for so long?
I keep saying it. I mean, the back three and their goalkeeper were their foundation of all those league successes. That, as you say, Vinny, that is the style that they have. That's their DNA. And anybody that, and Subawali especially, he has set in there seamlessly, whether it be right wing back or right of the three. He's exceptionally, he's athletic. He's good on the ball. He can switch in and out. He's got the pace. Pico will come back. Listen, don't underestimate the emotion and the games that Pico has played as well in America. I mean, that's going to take its toll. I don't want to say it started to take its toll, but it's going to take its toll at some stage. That'll be unbelievably draining. But the back three, I don't see him changing that. I don't see him coming away from that. Obviously, they've signed Will Fitzgerald. Where he's going to fit in, I don't know whether it's going to be on the right of the midfield of the wing backs. But the back three solid, and the goalkeeper as well. That's the foundation. That three and the one in front used to be Gary O'Neill. It's now Matt Healy, who was exceptional again the other night.
Yeah, he's great.
I think the big thing to take away from the other night, had Rovers not have played well and got put out, you'd be worried. I thought Rovers were quite good. They created enough chances. They were the dominant team. They just made a couple of sloppy mistakes. That can happen. I don't think they're going to be damaged going to Drogheda. But I think Drogheda will get a wee bit of a kick off how it finished down the showgrounds. I think scoring that goal was disallowed, and then having the balls to go then and get the equaliser again towards the end, they'll be buzzing. That was a massive game. A bigger game from Sligo. But coming away from it, momentum-wise, drugs would take a lot from it.
Do you know what's interesting, Gareth? What's your opinion on this? Is sometimes I think Shamrock Rovers have signed some players. I don't want to say so other teams don't get them, but there has been over the years an element of offering a lad a certain amount of money, and then other clubs have to. There's a bit of that skullduggery goes on with everybody. Okay, it's accepted. So. So explain that, Steve-O. If I was signing Gareth and I was at Club A, well, Club B might say, well, Gareth, we'll give you 500 quid. And all of a sudden, I'll go 550. And all that other club is doing is just costing me an extra 100 quid. And there's a bit of skullduggery goes on in all walks of football. Okay? So the question is, and we've seen it a little bit to a point with Sean Gannon. Like, he didn't suit Shamrock Rovers' system for me. So, does Will Fitzgerald suit Shamrock Rovers' system? Is he capable of playing wing back? And I know he's done bits of that, but I think he might have been asked to do that a couple of times in Derry, and I don't think it'll suit him.
He's played fullback as well, hasn't he, for Sligo Rovers?
But fullback is different, Steve-O.
I take that point. Yeah,
and particularly in Rovers' structure and shape, it's young Brennan has done really well for them. Okay. But even him, it's taken him a while to adjust to the Shamrock Rovers system in terms of a brilliant at how to keep the ball. And this, people might think this is a criticism of Rovers. It's not. It's asking the question, how brilliant they are at what they do. Does an out-and-out winger like Fitzgerald suit them? Or is he there? Are they going to change things up a little bit and have a fella impact off the bench?
Well, a perfect example of that was Darragh Burns, wasn't it? When he went, he just didn't fit in. I actually think you'll see Will Fitzgerald playing in right wing back more often than not. Because I know if you look at Stephen Bradley, bar Grant, he likes to play players who are left footed on the right and who are right footed on the left of the wing backs. I don't know why that is, but he just likes it. So I think you could play him more there. But I think Will Fitzgerald, I know there's a bit of skullduggery going on, but I think it's a signing that Rovers didn't do in the last one, though, when they signed the likes of Mulroney and Conor Malley. They didn't sign the real dependables, in my eyes. And this has gone back to signing a club captain, somebody who has got the domestic pedigree and is a real leader. So it's a wee bit of succession planning as well. He's not that old. I think it's a great signing from Shamrock Rovers. And I don't think he's going to be a bit part player, honestly. I think he's going to play more than he's not.
So you think he plays a wing back?
Please. I think he play right wing back more often than any other position. I can't see him getting in the back three. Left wing back, yes, and those are the two positions. But I think he plays in the right wing back more often than not.
I've never seen him playing on the right. He was brilliant the Pats game. Yeah, and every time I've seen him, he's left a mark on me with regards to how impressive he's been. Like, I suppose Bradley likes to have those inverted wing-backs because themselves and the centre-back on that side tend to hunt in a pair, you know, and you'll have the wing-back coming on the inside, the centre-back maybe going on the outside, or else he just likes to have that kind of... It gives him the option of shooting or whatever from range. But, like, it just feels to me that they're pretty well-stocked in that department. Like, you know, Jake Mulroney plays that side, Danny Grant plays that, can play that side. And you just wonder, like, there's going to be a lot of people need to be kept happy in that dressing room, isn't there, over the next couple of weeks, next few weeks?
Well, he's done that brilliantly, Steve, to be fair to him. Yeah. And success makes that easier. And there will be certain players that won't be overly happy, but when you're successful, nothing ever leaks out of the dressing room. I'll go back to Dundalk. We had problems in the dressing room. Players weren't happy. You never heard about it. Then you start hearing about when we stopped winning. And people then were able to write books about it. So stuff happens in dressing rooms. There are no illusions. It happens in Man City, Arsenal dressing rooms. Players are unhappy. But generally, it's a closed shop until stuff goes wrong. And then you start hearing lots of noise. But the other point on it is that if you think of Ronan Finn at his very best, he was nearly the centre forward. And where, again, going back to Subhawali, he struggled when he first went into Rovers as that wing-back. It's almost like, that's why I referenced Sean Gannon. Subhawali's better coming onto the ball as opposed at Rovers. He was receiving a rip that high up, force touches back to keep possession. And that'll be okay for certain players. So I'm fascinated to see how Will Fitzgerald fits into this system. I understand where Gary's come from, seeing him as a right wing back and getting on the ball. But let's wait and see. I think it's fascinating to see where he fits in. Really,
I think it's a great bit of business from Rovers, and I fancy them to sign Subhawali permanently as well from St Mirren. He is a quality player. I mean, if they go through this window by getting Will Fitzgerald and Subhawali, then it would have to be a pretty successful window. But I think just on the right for Will Fitzgerald, he did play there a lot for Derry, but high in the right as a three. Yeah. But he has matured immensely since the Derry days. He's got better every year. And you know who he reminds me of, Steve-O? If you look at Sligo's goals, their penalties, their free kicks, he is at the centre of everything. He reminds me of Dale Rooney. The impact that you don't see on the game, if you're only watching highlights, I called him a heritage asset to Sligo. He's going to be sorely missed, and I'm sure we'll get to that now as well.
Yeah, we'll come on to that. I'd actually forgotten about that little spell on the right with Derry. But yeah, I do want to come back to it in the with Sligo Rovers in mind. Just on Drogheda United, look, I know you're saying, Vinny, rightly so, that they still have a bit of work to do. But it's slowly been turning over the last couple of weeks. They had that brilliant win in the Louth Derby. And as Gareth mentioned just a few moments ago, the draw against Sligo Rovers, it could have been a win. Now, look, I know with the offside goal, if that had been allowed, would they have went on and got a third? Who knows? It could have just finished 2-2 anyway. But they did get their second goal. It was a late draw. And I would imagine, again, it's one of those where they're all heading back on the team bus. I'd say they were absolutely hopping and in great form. And team spirit will be absolutely high as a kite now coming into the match on Friday. But I just had to focus on Shane Farrell. What a boy this fella is. Like, you know, he's just... And look, maybe he just lacks that little bit of consistency across the season, but he's popped up there now two games in a row with three really important goals. The goals he scored against Dundalk were brilliant. And again, against Sligo Rovers, it was a really super finish. You can see him sizing these shots up. Like a really inspirational kind of a character, I'd say, in a dressing room, Gareth. You can see that you get that vibe off him on the pitch as well.
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, we talk about it all the time. We've talked about it on this podcast about the lack of strikers getting goals and stuff like that. And I reference the midfielders. When you've got midfielders that are getting between 8 and 12 goals a season, you can't put a value in that. And Shane's obviously getting a bit of plaudits now for his goals, not the three very important goals, particularly the other night, considering it was against Sligo, who are only 5 points behind them. That would have looked very different had that not have gone in. But it's his ability from set pieces, but also his technical ability in striking a ball during the play and open play, is a passing ability for the way that they play, Drogheda. They get the ball, they get into good positions, and then it's forward. So it's channel passes and channel runs that he has to deliver the ball to. So he doesn't get enough credit for that as well. But as you say, if he can go on a streaky run, Drogheda almost needs somebody. Without Warren Davis, they need somebody to step up. They can't be relying on Doyle and Aluia for all the goals. They need somebody else, and he looks to be the man.
Do you know what it is about Barrett? It's almost like he doesn't... How do I say this? If he looked like Colby from Mayo, I'm not saying he's not a good-looking fella. I'm just meaning it's that style. He looked almost tired in the middle of games, and people sort of undervalue his quality at times and his work rate as well. And I know there was issues with Damien Duff as well earlier in his career a couple of years ago, but I mean the two goals against Dundalk were exceptional, then that goal against Sligo as well. And how important is he for them? Because they've needed wins, Steve-O. Remember, if Sligo had won, they were 2 points behind. And now it's still that sort of gap is there, 5. So it was a huge moment he got. I know the offside goal was in there. And even that, for me, I can understand nearly where that's coming from. Is he behind the goalkeeper, etc.? I don't know. I tried to pause it and it's difficult. So, look.
And you know what, Kevin Doherty is a type of manager as well. He can get into runs with this Drogheda United team. Like, so this could be the start of maybe a 6-7-8 match run where they get the points just to climb up that table a little bit and get themselves away from the relegation zone.
Yeah, I think so many teams in the league is like that, though. I think so many teams are consistently inconsistent, whatever way you want to put it, because it doesn't, like the run Dundalk went on didn't overly shock me, and I still think they could win 2 or 3 in a row as well. And everybody's been inconsistent as it currently stands all the way through the league table. So, but for Drogheda, I think they've done really well over the last couple of weeks, and they probably need, that's what I said, if this is a chance, sometimes you can weigh in 2 weeks' time we play this team or that team. Chance to beat everybody, particularly home, they're good enough to do that, and starting this week.
Yeah, the strange thing about Drogheda and Doherty is recently they've been scoring loads of goals and conceding loads of goals, whereas it's usually the opposite. So in hindsight, Kevin should be the perfect man to be able to get the defensive structure better and keep the goals out. And he's got the players now who are in a better form to go and shoot them up the table.
Yeah, only Sligo Rovers have scored fewer goals than Drogheda United in the league so far this season. So they definitely need a few in the back of the net. We did try to keep it a Mayo-free zone here, but Vinny totally spoiled that with his Colby reference. But anyway, Gareth, just on Sligo Rovers, because they do, having been beaten, or sorry, been equalised against late on, against a side from Louth, they're now off to Louth to face Dundalk on Friday night. The Will Fitzgerald thing, it feels like it's a massive gamble. Like, they're only getting 75 grand from him, and they could lose a lot more than that if they go down. How do you kind of assess what it means for Sligo Rovers? And I'm sure, look, Darren Purse, the new manager there, I'm sure he would have given it the okay because the transfer goes through after he comes in.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it before. It was in the off-season just past. Will was kind of contemplating going or not. There was a few bids put in. And obviously, Will said, no, I'll stay. So I don't think everything that he's given Sligo, if Wolves gone to the club and said, listen, I want to go now, Rovers coming in, the top team in Ireland right now, playing in Europe, I don't think they can hold him back, you know, but it's going to be a huge miss. And we talked about his characteristics, his personality in the dressing room, the standards he sets. I mean, that's something Rovers would have looked at in Shamrock Rovers and would have said, you know what, no matter how bad it has been within Sligo, he's always been the top performer. He's always the one that's got them out of trouble. So his character is flawless. But the big plus for Sligo in that game would be the goals, Cian Kavanagh. We talked about it. Hasn't worked out for Traore. Cian Kavanagh has been hit or miss. Mikkelsen has and O'Kane has been kind of goals not. They need someone to really shoot them to 3 points in the next few weeks. So that'll be a big plus if they can get Cian Kavanagh firing, playing to his strengths, and with Will leaving as well, gives an opportunity to someone else to step up. Maybe it will be Cian, maybe it will be a few other players, but it's a big void.
Yeah, Kavanagh's got four goals in his last two matches in the league. So really in sensational form. They'll need him against Dundalk. Vinny, they are conceding late, though. This has been the big problem for them. And it happens under Darren Purse for his first game in charge last Saturday night. So, like, how does he address this? Because there's a mental thing there. And, like, I'm sure, like, when you were a I would say when you were a manager, you probably came up against teams where you thought, these concede late. And you would have told your team, look, lads, you go out there. If we're level with 80 minutes to go, just keep plugging away, because these lads are mentally weak and they can concede late. And you always go, will Dundalk kind of take that similar approach, you think, this weekend as well? Is that something that Duff will say?
Yeah, it sort of gives you a bit of belief. So if you're it's like that old thing, the top teams always get penalties. Well, they're in your box all the time. You know what I mean? More than other teams. There's a reason why the top teams get late goals, because they're the better teams and they're pushing, etc. So, but at the same time, when you're conceding certain goals, whether it's Gareth to tell you, if you start conceding goals from set pieces, those get in the 6 inches between your two ears as a footballer are the most dangerous things in your whole body. You can have a bad left foot, bad right foot, have both bad left and right foot, but if you've put 6 inches between your ears, it can take you a long way. And if you feel like your team is vulnerable to late goals, subconsciously, it's very, very difficult for any coach and manager to turn that around. And it needs to happen on the pitch. And the players need to do it. No matter what words the manager say, they tend to get lost when there's 5-10 minutes to go in the game. If you're a part of that Sligo setup, for example, where you just know what's coming down the tracks and there's a real fear, and the sort of the man on the shoulder starts playing games with you. They have to fix that. But as much as the new manager coming in has a big job to do, and I'm not sure it's the right appointment. I hope I'm wrong.
Why
I'd say that is he's coming into the club, okay, and he doesn't know our league. He's operated at an extremely high level. And to come down and start to learn about our league this late, it's going to be difficult. Now, people might say, well, Graham Coughlin's done it. The point I make about Graham Coughlin is down in League 2, down in even non-league Boston, he knows how to scrap and buy and get jobs done and get people fit. My question is, at the level that this manager's operated, does he know how to do the same things? And is it a huge culture shock for him where he's got to learn about his own players, he's got to learn about the opposition, all of that stuff while trying to keep them up? And I just hope, whatever about doing that 4, 6, 8 weeks ago, doing that now when every result now is crucial, I have a real fear that disappointment might work out.
And I think that Steve and Vinny, and you'll know this, Vinny, the number two is massively important when you don't have that experience. And I think he's looking at Warren Feeney as his number two. Again, not familiar with League of Ireland, hasn't played in it, hasn't managed in it. So I was surprised when I heard Warren's name being driven towards. I thought they would have got a good number two, even an ex-player of League of Ireland, just to keep him right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we'll see what Sligo Rovers can do on Friday night. We might touch a bit more on them, because they've also brought in a young player on loan from Port Vale. There's talk maybe of a Welsh midfielder coming in from the Cardiff setup, who was working with Purse at the under-21s with Wales. So we might come back to them again next week after we see a second performance under Darren Purse. He would have been under a huge amount of pressure going into that game, just trying to get things sorted. So we might have a better picture of them. It did seem like they're going for a back three maybe. So let's see how that all works out. There is a few other games happening this weekend. Derry City are playing against St. Patrick's Athletic at Richmond Park. And, we heard a bit of Stephen Kenny in his post-match after that draw against Dundalk. And we say it every week for St. Pat's, it's another massive game. Vinny, what did you make of the comments from Stephen Kenny, just kind of saying, look, and I think it was fair enough, he is right, like nobody, after what happened last season with St. Pat's, nobody gave them a chance to win the title this season. They weren't spoken about at all. But they're up in second place now.
Yes and no. I mean, I think two, if not the three of us, had them in the top three. And none of us expected Shamrock Rovers to struggle as much as they've done. So, Gareth played under them. So I'll ask you, Gareth, straight question. Have you ever heard Stephen Kenny, no matter what team he's at, speak like he's accepting to be second or third or fourth this early in the season?
Never, but I mean, that's what he's telling the media. He ain't saying that internally.
Yeah, but Gareth, players are hearing that.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff is so unlike him, has to raise a red flag to me.
Yeah.
It's almost like accepting that, like, I'm shocked. I was shocked by his comments on the pitch at the nice table. I was at the game, so obviously working at it. I touched on it about not being a Stephen Kenny type performance. At one stage, the young lad Rooney was in the 92nd minute. It's the only Shamrock Rovers player or St. Patrick's Athletic player in the box for a cross from the left wing. In the 92nd minute, are you winding me up? That's not a Stephen Kenny team. That's not somebody trying to get themselves back into a title race. Gareth, you worked under him, you played under him. Even when you felt, I go as far as saying if you're 10 points behind and there's only four games left, he'd still be checking who the other team are playing to think if we picked up 12 points. Yeah. And now saying out publicly in the media, and his players hear every word of that, Gareth, for him to say, you know, no one expected us, and sure, we're doing grand. Well, everyone expected to be in Europe last year, and he weren't. And we expected him. If Shamrock Rovers are going to come off it, we expect Bowles and Pats and Shells to be in a title race, and they're not. And they deserve the criticism that come with that, whether they like it or not, or whether they think it's personal or whatever. That's life. But what they produced the other day was so lackluster. Tactically, there's something wrong. I think you need to look at that. And they're way off it. They're second, but they've played, what is it, 25 games of football now?
Mm.
Yeah, 25.
25, yeah.
And they haven't won 13 of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, wow. when people ask me what's so special about Steven, I always say he's ruthlessly ambitious. That's his mentality, and that's you can go into the smaller granular details of that, but that's what you get as a player, as a fan, as a chairman. That's what you get from him when he walks into the room, and everything that he says epitomizes that statement. I was surprised, and I know you're kind of, I think it's a wee bit harsh. If you look at home especially, and that's why the result didn't sit well with me against Dundalk. They've scored 28 goals in 13 games. And conceded seven. Now, away from home is not as good, but that's why I can't believe that they were so lackluster on Friday night. It's obviously not what they planned for, but with such an opportunity, and that's why Rovers going into this weekend against Drogs can kind of go, Pats had two games there, they put pressure on us, and they got 2 points from two games. I'm sure Stephen's frustrated from that, and he's wondering.
Okay, then I ask you, so. Why am I being harsh then? Because we operate in a very small league where everybody has personal relationships. So if you comment on somebody, people can say, well, he's only saying that because of this and that. Okay. But I go back to you and say, Gareth, he's 2.5 years in the job. they didn't qualify for Europe last year. They've played 25 games of football this year. They've not won 13 of them. And Stephen has said, Asher, nobody expected us anyway. And the man you worked under, that doesn't sound like him.
No.
I'm not asking you to throw him under the bus. Leave that to me and people can think of doing it. I'm just saying, if I was a Pat fan, which I am, I grew up as one, I have a bloody right to be disappointed if I'm a Pat fan of where they are. And people will say, well, Rovers are ahead of everybody. And they're not that far ahead of everybody at the moment. And we're giving them a free ride if I'm a Pat fan. Or at times I've said this about Bowles. I'm only saying what I see.
Yeah, no, that's what we want. That's what we're here for. We want honest opinions. And I think when I was speaking to Stephen, I was trying to convey, because in that moment, it's about him giving a message to supporters. That's what post-match interviews are for. I'm there with a microphone on behalf of supporters. And I did want to get across that without trying to, because I know it's really hard for managers after dropping points in a match, if you draw or lose, whatever the case may be. So you're always conscious of trying not to antagonise them or say something stupid that might just wind them up. I was just trying to say, look, can you understand why supporters might be disappointed? Because you had two games in hand. You've only picked up 2 points from those two games in hand when you had a chance to put Rovers under pressure. And I was a bit surprised myself. Now, the one thing I'd say, I know he's there 2.5 years, Vinny, but the fact that they didn't qualify for Europe last season, and there were reasons for that, and there was clubs playing well around them, that probably affected his budget, his playing budget, and the ability to sign players.
No, it didn't.
Okay.
Okay. It feels like I'm having a goal here.
Here's the other thing I will say.
He didn't, though. He's been given everything he wants, Steve.
He did say after that as well that he has been dreadfully, and this is fair enough as well, they've been seriously unlucky with the injuries to the attacking players. Rommel Palmer, Max Mata, who else is there?
El Bezzetti.
Simon Perrault. Like this, it's been really bad.
So have Bowles had any injuries? Have Bowles centre forwards have any injuries? James Taylor struggled. I mean, look, it feels like I'm having a go. I think it's important I say I'm sitting in the cheap seat. I'm not good enough to manage anymore, et cetera, before anybody. I'm just telling you, if I was Tim Clancy or John Daly, I'd be saying, you know, what's the difference in the job I've done? And it's currently going on now. Pat's ownership have given the manager and his staff everything we need and beyond.
Yeah.
They need to be closer to Shamrock Rovers. They may fail, but they need to be closer to Shamrock Rovers. Put them under pressure for the good of the league. I said this about Bowles a few weeks ago and people weren't happy with it. I'm just telling you, somebody has to say what's happening. If you're telling me Stephen Kenny is content with playing 25 games 2.5 years into his reign at Pats and only winning 12 of the 13 of them, and sure, everything is grand, then Shamrock Rovers better be way in ahead of everybody and be playing brilliant, and they're not. So that I'm concerned about that as Stephen's friend, that he's okay with that. And I'm still his friend, whether people like it or not. We mightn't speak awfully, but he's still someone I want to be successful. Mm-hmm. So I have a concern about that. Gareth, there, I said it. People can judge what they want out of that comment.
Yeah, but you know him well enough, Vinny, that he's not content with that. That's just the narrative he's saying. They give him enough time to get it right. Because you have to admit, the team that he took over, the club, the support, the energy, it's not where it was. I would say there's been progress made there. 2.5 years, yes, Stephen would want to be closer to Rovers, if not above them. And he would have wanted to maybe to get a run in Europe. Yes, he's not where he's at. I still think there's been enough progress to made. Maybe not enough. I agree.
Okay. Listen, we move on now from this because, and actually just people might have been wondering, the away records goal difference, that seems to be the issue. Pat's fifth in the away table, 14 points from a possible 36. They've scored 12 and conceded 14. So minus 2 away from home. That's not good. But that won't help Derry because they're an inch of core, Gareth. And look, I can't really... Derry City and Bowes, they're playing Thursday night. So let's not go into too much detail on them. But again, Tiernan Lynch, like, they've probably given up on qualifying for Europe, I think, at this stage in the league table. But I think he'll want to go down and put on a decent show in Dublin.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, I've been to all the games since they played Pats recently, and they're always a bit of a stalemate. It's Derry sitting back, trying to hit them in the counter-attack. Pats with loads of the ball. Derry have got a lot of the players back, new signings. Let's see how they get on. It again, Derry's a mixed bag. That's why they're sitting sixth, seventh in the league. Tiernan Lynch, I'll want a response. The only thing I will say, their European performances have been quite good. If you haven't watched the last three games, they've been very good. They're obviously playing now tomorrow night at home. This side they're playing tomorrow night again. Unlike Rovers, they got a tough draw on the two games. They're a good side, so we expect Derry maybe possibly go out on tomorrow night, and then that leaves the league and the cup to concentrate on. But let's see, it's hard to know what sort of Derry team's going to turn up.
Yeah, Derry City against Rijeka in the Roy McBride Brandywell tomorrow night as we record today on the Wednesday. It was great results, 1-0 away from home. Bohemians with that big win against Balkany last week, and they're away to Balkany on the Thursday night. They're also playing against Galway United this weekend. That's on Sunday, as is the St. Pat's Derry match. So St. Pat's Derry's at 5 o'clock, Bohemians Galway at 7 o'clock. I'd say Galway will be just glad to see the back of that Pier Stadium pitch. And listen, this is no disrespect to the GAA or to the Galway County Board. I think it was brilliant that the two bodies came together to help each other out. And let's see more of that, as we saw up in Derry as well. It just was unfortunate that the pitch wasn't in good nick. And, you know, listen, there's barely a blade of green grass around the country at the moment. Anywhere you go, never mind on a football pitch. So those two matches on Sunday, Waterford against Shelburne, that one is on Sunday as well. That game kicks off at 3 o'clock. And just quickly on that, lads, Waterford unbeaten in 5. I have a funny feeling, Vinny, they might have a fancy little cup run. What do you think?
I think they sacrificed it for staying up. And yeah, look, Coughlin's done a great job. Who would have thought that? Hey, who would have thought that? Yeah, maybe go back to Eclipse from a couple of about 6-7 weeks ago.
Vinny, you're taking a little lap of honour here. Sorry,
you caught me off guard. Self-praise. Do you know says self-praise is no praise? He's a lawyer.
You're going to get dizzy. Hey,
before I forget this one, two things. You touched on Owen Heary, by the way, during your commentary. Probably the best right back the last 25 years. And that's saying something, because we've had some good ones. Gannon, Dylan, there's been lots of them. And he's like, what a hell of a good player he is. Yeah. I think people think League of Ireland only started 5, 6, 7 years ago. But special mention, Patrick McElhenney is still my favourite player ever to watch. Is he the best? That's up for discussion. The great Kevin Hunt, whether it's Jack Bourne, Graham Bourke's, but Patrick, to work with him, he is as good as you'll ever get as a person to work with. Absolute fruitcake. Him and Michael Duffy, two rogues, brilliant rogues. So, and to see him not able to play again and he's moving on to something else, who knows what it is. Right. But when the legends of the game or the great footballers retire, we should always mention it. And what a special footballer and person he is. He's as good as it gets. In a dressing room, Patrick is absolutely brilliant. On the pitch, on the training ground. And for me, that goal he scored in away to Vitesse Arnhem, still one of my favourite moments of all time with Dundalk. Picked the ball up and absolutely took the Michael out of goalkeeper at the end. Just a brilliant, brilliant moment from a special player. And wishing well in his retirement. He's getting old as hell, Fats.
He's not going to go far. He's not going to leave us.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, what a player. Absolutely superb. I'll echo everything Vinny said. Vinny getting as emotional as a Mayo supporter on Croke Park on Sunday night there. So, Vinny, thanks a million. Gareth, thanks a million. If you want to see more of Vinny's big, massive head, it will be in the Go Loud Lounge this Sunday at 6 o'clock. It is a live LOI pod. Myself, Vinny Pert.
I'll be listening to Disclosure as well. Don't forget that bit of Pulp on Saturday night. No problem. None of that kneecap messing for me.
But we will be back on Friday night with live and exclusive national radio commentary. Drogheda United versus Shamrock Rovers should be a cracker. It's all and off the ball on News Talk and the Go Loud app from 7 o'clock this Friday. We'll chat to you next week. Thanks for listening.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.